There are places you visit, and then there are places that quietly install themselves into the rhythm of your life for a decade before you even notice. Brett Hayhoe has been writing about one of those.
This episode follows Brett's account of Newlandbury, a remote mining town on the Gove Peninsula in the Northern Territory, and everything that accumulated there over more than a decade of monthly visits.
Let's start with the town, the friendships, and the night the atmosphere told a story before anyone said a word.
The post opens not as a travel piece, but as something closer to a memoir. The question it's really asking is, what happens when a destination stops being a destination and becomes part of the fabric of a life?
And the answer, it turns out, involves a tin shed airport, a five-hour karaoke night, and two people who never once flinched. The post sets the scene plainly. Newlandby, pronounced Newlandboy for the uninitiated, though the uninitiated were relatively few, sits on the Gove Peninsula in the far north of the Northern Territory. Founded in the late 1960s around a bauxite mine and a deepwater port, it is a private mining town on Aboriginal-owned land.
So the upshot is that this is not a place you stumble into. It exists because of industry, on land that belongs to others, in one of the most isolated corners of Australia. The alumina refinery closed in May 2014, but for most of the years covered here, it was very much running. And the Post notes the scale was genuinely significant, the largest conveyor belt in the Southern Hemisphere.
Which gives you a sense of the particular character the Post keeps returning to. Serious industrial operation, extraordinary remoteness, community that had organized itself to be entirely self-sufficient, and one airport that was, in practical terms, a tin shed with ambitions, the Qantas Club Lounge famously located near the third tree outside.
The friendships at the center of all this are Carmel and Kaka. Carmel is described as Irish in every sense, warm, direct, fiercely loyal. The arrangement that developed was simple. Pick up from the airport, a stop at the Arnhem Club for what the Post calls a couple of thirst quenchers, then back to a home with a kitchen and a dining table.
Not a hotel room, an actual home, which is quietly the whole point.
The karaoke nights ran 5 or 6 hours, which suited a mining town crowd not interested in an early night. But the Post is careful to say that what Newlandby really held across those years was something more personal. A marriage, then the end of one, then the slow and then not so slow process of coming out. Through all of it, Carmel and Kaka received their monthly guest without a word of anything other than warmth.
There's also a boat trip. Kaka arranged access to one of the mining vessels for a day, and what they found was a massive natural cove ringed by 7 equidistant mansions. The Post flags that the story behind those houses is one for another time, and that is, frankly, an effective sentence.
Then comes the night something felt wrong. The Post describes landing and sensing a shift in the community's atmosphere. Not dramatic, just off. A high school friend at the bar explained it. The quote is direct and stays with you. "You've been coming here a long time, Brett. Long enough to be a local. You're right. A local black man did something naughty to a young white boy. He's being flown to Darwin in the morning for his court hearing. And then, he'll be flying, but he'll be in a body bag. There are tribal rules he has to answer first, and they are not pleasant." The Post doesn't editorialize. It lets the word sit. The karaoke ran its usual hours. The crowd was what it was. But the point the Post makes is that Newlandby existed in two worlds simultaneously. The world of the mine and the monthly flights, and the world of Arnhem Land behind it. Ancient and governed by its own law, entirely indifferent to alumina production timelines.
Most of the time, those two worlds ran alongside each other. Most of the time has edges to it.
The Post closes on the lemons that eventually arrived. The move from Cairns, the end of the monthly rhythm, but it earns the final line. For a long time before that, the fruit in season was considerably sweeter.
a decade of monthly flights to a tin shed airport. And what it actually produced was two friendships, and a reminder that some places hold more than they appear to from the outside.
Next time, the series moves into considerably more personal territory. Brett flags that the next piece is about coming out. The ground is already laid.